Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is August 1st, 2019. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm speaking from Zurich at Swiss National Day. If you hear popping in the background, it's not gunshots, it's Swiss firecrackers. Today is the day the Swiss celebrate their federal charter, which was created in 1291. It's a beautiful day to be here. Spring weather, with everyone out on the lake, swimming, boating, biking, walking, picnicking, lunching, and sunbathing. It's a great and very livable city. I'm headed tomorrow to Lake Constance. I've got Brahms symphonies and then Rigoletto on Wednesday. It's getting rave reviews, completely sold out. We've been working on the website for the Lake Constance 2020 hang, so I'll be back next year and see it again with a group of great subscribers. Lake Constance hang in 2020 will be Ulrich Groniger, Jason Bodensmith, and myself. It's the second week of August, and we plan to mail it by Labor Day. I'll keep you posted. It's going to be Beethoven and Schubert for the symphony and Rigoletto again for the opera, so this performance is just, again, the reviews are just amazing, but I'll see it next Wednesday, so I'll tell you more about it. We hope to mail that by Labor Day, and then I head to Basel to see the wonderful Thomas Meyer and his family, and then fly home from Zurich on August 16th. I'll head almost as soon as I get back up to Toronto on August 24th. Kirby, Skidmore, Eschelin, and I are having a light lunch at Kirby's, a place for subscribers. You can sign up at the website. Then I'm going on to Halifax and Cape Breton, and then I'll drive back to Hickory Valley, all by car. I head over in October back to the Netherlands and Paris, and we'll be, Nina Hein, Food for the Soul, will be joining Robert Duber and myself in Paris for more on Da Vinci. There's a great new Food for the Soul column. Check it out on a new digital art show in Paris that sounds so fantastic. I'm very excited, and Nina's going to get us tickets so we can see it when I'm in Paris. I'm delighted to hear reports from subscribers all around the world. You're taking your kids and family to see Da Vinci exhibits. It's fantastic. And also taking them to the symphony and opera. So it's wonderful to hear that this is inspiring, really a new celebration of culture. And there's so much great stuff going on. So I'm glad to hear you're supporting it and getting access to it. I'll be in Portland on Friday, November 15th. We're doing a tea in the afternoon, and then I'm driving back with multiple stops in Oregon, California, Nevada, on my way to Thanksgiving in the Texas Panhandle with just a great group. And then we're going to have a tea in Malvern outside of Philadelphia on December 20th, Friday. We did one last year. It was really great. We have plenty of copies of The Real Game of Missing Money, both Volume 1 and Volume 2. We've mailed out a significant number to the premium subscribers. I just talked to somebody down in Australia, still hasn't gotten their set, but it should be there, if not this week, next week. So we have plenty of stock to order away. Please keep asking, where is the money? Ask it again and again and again. It's critical between now and the U.S. elections in 2020 that we keep asking the questions about FASB 56 and the missing money. I wanted to make sure I got books out to all the subscribers and everybody who purchased. But once I have that done, we're going to start sending them to my political representatives. And I've decided the third quarter wrap-up will be focused on what's the action. And I have lots of ideas. And part of it is just documenting all the ones we're going to send out to political representatives, pension fund representatives, people interested in ESG investment, and of course, all sorts of people in the money world. Anyway, it's an ongoing process. Please get physical copies in people's hands. If you don't want to spend the money to buy more hard copies, feel free to put it on a stick or print it out. I just think sending a digital link doesn't really do it. You've got to get something physical in people's hands. Get it to your CPA, get it to your bank, get it to your insurance company, get it to your pension fund trustees. Again, we have a bulk discount, but feel free to print out the PDF or, again, put it on a stick. But get this into people's hands. The 2020 presidential election is turning out to be a sort of doozy of entertainment. Kiplinger said last week they expect $7 billion to be spent on federal elections, so it's very big business. I don't think that there's much difference as to who controls the reins of centralization. The system is going to keep centralizing no matter who goes in there, although obviously there are incremental differences and those can feel significant. But a lot of the campaign will be entertainment. The Democratic primary has already started. I said it would be exhausting and expensive, and it's already started to be exhausting and expensive. The Democrats have raised $270 million so far. But here's what's important about elections. It's a place, it's a time when we all get together and discuss issues. So in town hall meetings or local organizations, get FASB 56 and the missing money into the mix, because we're going to start hearing, particularly after the election, that there is no money. And every time everybody says, well, wait a minute, what about the $21 trillion? So I don't hope for the election results, but I think it's a great venue to educate your neighbors and state and local officials, particularly as it relates to pension funds, student loans, Social Security, and taxes. Anyway, keep me posted on how your efforts are going and how we can support you. Our theme tonight is No One Is As Smart As All of Us. I'm getting incredible reports from subscribers all around the world. Here's the reality. Y'all are very smart, you're very awake, and you really take notice. I want to read you some of the great reports I've been getting this week. They're going to be in the notes, so you can find them in the notes. And we've posted some of them up in subscriber-only blogs and at subscriber input. Dear Catherine, I was struck by one of your recent conversations with Dr. Farrell about the war on children, and thought you might find the attached photos of a street advertisement by Sephora, a makeup company, rather interesting. They depict a young boy on the left, perhaps barely pubescent, clearly in a romantic pose over a young boy on the right, likely elementary school age, with both boys in full-on women's makeup. The slogan at the bottom reads, "They, she, z, he, z, we belong to something beautiful." The ads are about 20 feet tall and appear in this and similar forms on newsstands along San Francisco's Sansom Street in the heart of the financial district. Both the Stock Exchange and the Federal Reserve are on Sansom Street. Even as a gay woman who works in San Francisco and supports transgender rights, I found these ads very disturbing. Incidentally, also in the attached photos are sculptures of shredded images of Hermes, Dionysus, and Armon, which appear in front of each side of the Federal Reserve building. I'm not sure what they're up to trying to convey, but sculptures of sliced up humans in front of the Fed is rather awful. My partner and I so enjoyed our time with you in Australia last year. We hope that your life continues to be fun and safe adventure, and we look forward to seeing you again. Wow. So I wrote back and sent a link to their parent companies, the makeup parents company's socially responsible investment statement. And they wrote back and said both ironic and hypocritical. I would note, with reference to the statues, Dr. Farrell's new book, Mind and Microcosm, is very helpful in terms of helping you see things like this. I would also note, I went down to the Zurich train station today, and I had an errand to run, and I passed the Sephora store in the Zurich train station in the lower level and watched the videos. Because of what you'd sent, I watched the videos for, I don't know, about a minute before going on and completing my errand. And it was amazing. It was totally heterosexual, not a hint of the what is clearly a very almost transhumanist kind of presentation that you saw. Anyway, those pictures are in a commentary for subscribers only, so log in and you'll see the commentary. You can see all the pictures. Second one, more promotion of transhumanism. Catch this. Thought you'd be interested to hear about the billboards I saw on I-10 beginning around Riverside heading east towards Phoenix. So this is from California to Arizona. First, there's a cartoon baby playing with ABC building blocks, and the script reads, "Vaccine saves lives." I've seen many pro-vaccine billboards over the last several years scattered throughout California, but what stood out to me was, you ready for this? This baby had no face, no eyes, no ears, no nose, only a pacifier. Couple that billboard with the following. Picture in a Peter Max style, a child leaping playfully through the air, arms outstretched, and the child leaves in its wake a spray of colorful flowers, paisleys, and swirling patterns. The script reads, "Autism opens up a new world of possibilities," and links to a URL, autismscreening.org. Wow! Get your baby screened today because your baby just might win the autism lottery. I saw these billboards as a 1-2 punch, and there were about a half a dozen each over 60 miles. I considered why this location and couldn't think of anything definitive other than the diversity of drivers on this stretch of highway. The locals are mostly field workers. There are several casinos and one very large outlet mall that has extremely high-end shops, Gucci, Prada, Porsche, Armani, Dolce & Gabbana. I drive all over California, including many agricultural areas, and I've never seen a pro-autism billboard before. The URL doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me either. However, the billboard has to be fairly new, as I drive this stretch of freeway every other month, and I definitely would have noticed it before. Okay, so now let's go to the third one, which is about the video I posted that InfoWars made on Elon Musk and his effort Neuralink. Hi, Catherine. This is me again. I wanted to let you know that when my husband and I watched the InfoWars video this morning, the one about the connection brains to AI, this is all about implanting your a piece of digital equipment into your brain so that you can connect directly to computers and AI. My husband, who has some medical training, was shocked by the way Musk sounded and acted. He said if a patient came into the ER like that, any good doctor would run blood tests to see what drugs they were on, or in the case of severe mental illness like schizophrenia, needed to be on. The only other thing he knew of that could cause that kind of body language and voice tone was profound and very deep physical or emotional harm, either from a horrible and pounding series of terrible life events or actual mental physical torture. I went and found some videos of Musk in 2010 and 2017, and both times he shouted, "Now he's acting normal." He said that in the earlier videos, Musk looked like he might have mild Asperger's, so does my husband, but otherwise his body language, facial expressions, and eye contacts look totally normal for a quieter person. My husband almost never watches the news and even hates to watch most videos, but I got him to watch this one and he didn't even know who Musk was before I showed it to him. My husband said the most shocking thing to him was when Musk goes from normal in the earlier video clips when AI scares or worries him to looking like a drugged up medical patient in the "if you can't beat it, you just have to join it" clips. Even though I'm very aware of this stuff, I'm finding this entire topic extremely disturbing and creepy, and I've been reading science fiction since I was a small child. Even most good science fiction writers wouldn't make their plot this obvious. I mean, there's no way that Musk has been playing with his own brain technology and he has put information into his brain, is there? Another possibility my husband suggested. Just sharing some thoughts on this one. Yes, you have our permission, and my husband is willing to add what drugs he thinks could be used here. Here he is. So this is her husband writing. Okay, first, no one can or should make a diagnosis from a freaking videotape, not talking about some of the distance technology that is proving a lifesaver for folks in the rural area, talking about this very situation. I would be very, very unhappy if anyone were to go from this to, "Hey, Musk is definitely chugging the," and then there's the name of a drug. I don't know what it is. Also, I'm a researcher, not a clinician. I could not say for certain that any of the possibilities which I list below singly or in combination are the actual issue with Musk. I can only say that it looks very much as though there could be something untowards going on with him that happened between 2017 and 2019. Whether it is brain chemistry related, hormone, or other physical related, emotional, or what, I cannot say. I can only offer what might look like possible differential diagnosis if the information presented were sufficient to do, e.g. a doctor having the guy in there in person where questions could be asked, a physical exam performed. The 2017 tape rules out the possibility that he's just a little further over the Asperger spectrum than most super functional Aspies, as it gives a baseline of relative normalcy for him. The most obvious possible cause for what I seem to superficially perceive based on the tapes we saw, especially the change between 2017 normal effect and 2019 could be, not are. The look and diminished facial expressions, particularly compared with a normal expressiveness visible in a tape of Musk from 2017, could be consistent with rough order of apparent likelihood. Antipsychotic drugs, particularly the full dopamine antagonists. The increasingly mask-like face could, though it's not necessarily one possible symptom of iatrogenic Parkinsonism, a known and to varying degrees by no means uncommon side effect of the dopamine antagonist antipsychotics. I've seen a number of psychiatric inpatients with this condition and a loss of normal facial muscle movement as a result. Okay, that was one. Heavy sedatives, many possible classes, high doses of opiates, and even a sufficiently powerful dose of THC could easily have the same result. An excessive usage of most of or all classes of antidepressant, and here I mean strong enough to visibly affect speech, expression, and movement in the individual patient. One could hypothetically have begun a normal starter dose within 6 weeks. Ironically, similar symptoms to what Musk was displaying on the recent tape could also indicate a very serious need for antipsychotics or antidepressants. There are a number of possible endocrinological conditions, hyperthyroidism, even Addison's, which could hypothetically present with loss of facial and vocal effect and reduced facial muscle movement, not to mention depression as a symptom of the original condition, possibly even profound depression. If I saw him in a clinic, I would absolutely at least be asking the full battery of thyroid and adrenal function questions, as well as medication reviews, psych battery. Leaving out prescription or should be available at the least by prescription drugs and the possibility of a straightforward evolution of schizophrenia, profound depression, or even endo thing. If none of that were to be the case, I would say I was looking at a completely emotionally broken man there, the kind of long-term life-destroying emotional breakage normally usually seen in people who've been living rough or incarcerated for a while. In my experience, in the majority of these people that I've seen in that emotional state, I add, were being treated or were kind of unfortunately off their recommended treatment for one reason or another. And I'm not just talking about the ones who showed up at the clinic or hospital. I'm talking about people on the street who, as people in bad straits often do, felt moved to tell a stranger about their problems in hope of a sandwich. It is, of course, also possible the guy was actually suffering from hell's own hangover when he did the more alarming of the interviews. That probably would not explain his diminished effect in the less immediately alarming of the later interviews, though, and any of the above-mentioned possibilities could have better days and worse days, particularly remedications and so forth. But please include a disclaimer that you can't actually diagnose someone from a video. These are just his thoughts on the topic. So here's my guess. Musk does act like somebody who's been through trauma-based mind control. But if you look at what has happened with his businesses, he's been in an enormous squeeze from a business standpoint. And if you add the stress of that squeeze for more than a couple of years, and you combine it with the kind of pressure that the establishment can bring to bear to get you to promote something like Neuralink, you know, you're talking about potentially occult forces as well as people who will threaten the lives of your family. So I think the possibility that he's dealing with tremendous physical and emotional stress that can really, you know, put somebody in a box where they start promoting things like Neuralink. Anyway, take a look at the video. It's up on the website. Or if you just do a search for Neuralink and InfoWars, I'm sure you get it. Okay, the fourth letter, let's switch from transhumanism in the first three to climate change. I sent someone, a subscriber, a link to an article that said humans occupy less than 3% of the surface of the earth from Armstrong Economics, and they wrote back as follows. This is somebody who flies even more than I do, but I have the same experience when I fly that they do. Hi, Catherine. I'm flying from Santa Fe after a family reunion of people from Europe and all over the U.S. to San Francisco over endless miles of hills, plains, deserts, rivers, squares of farmland, and row after row of foothills in the snow-capped Sierras. No people, no visible concentration of infrastructure building, very little man-made change to the natural terrain, and clear, beautiful skies, no pollution, not even many chemtrails today. The flight reminds me of my other trips flying over thousands of miles of wilderness, in Chile over mountains and oceans, same in Australia and India, over deserts and wild natural vistas, and then over the lower Himalayas in northern India, and over the Pacific Ocean to Hawaii and Singapore and South Korea and Dubai and Hong Kong and the Philippines into South Africa and Tanzania and Botswana and Zambia. And I fly back and forth to D.C. and Chicago and New Jersey, Boston and New York City to see family over so much uninhabited land. In the United States, no pollution visible. And when I last flew from Germany over the Atlantic, and then due to some turbulence, we were fortunate to be redirected over an edge of the Arctic, where I saw 2 to 3 hours of endless snow-covered mountains and hills. No evidence or habitat that would result in emaciated polar bears adrift on any ice floes. And everyone at the reunion buys hook, line, and sinker the global warming caused by man lie. All 75 people except me and one 80-year-old very successful businessman, quote, curmudgeon. Many sighs and very, very lost, serious conversations and parroted mainstream media talking points about humanity's dire situation and what a mess the planet we are leaving to our grandchildren and how we all need to act drastically and immediately to save the planet and ourselves. The intellectual, very well-educated Europeans were especially adamant about this. Popped into earshot as I moved through the gatherings over the weekend. They will all have to take planes back to their homes. Do they not look out the window of the plane? They all think we are woke. They are so not woke. Here is the funniest part. When I mentioned that the oceans comprise somewhere around 72% and land 28% of the Earth's surface, and the biggest, most polluting cities are smaller than pinpricks on the map of their world, the almost universal answer is, what about the cows? All the methane from them. I'm laughing out loud. Eating cheese is now becoming politically incorrect, not just burgers. It's amazing. When I was in Italy last week, I had a wonderful lunch in Lord Garniger and I with a wonderful scientist who started to describe the energy used by the military, which is astonishing. Even I had no idea, you know, and then he compared it to the cow thing and it was funny as all get out. I mean, you cannot believe that, you know, that intelligent people fall for this, but it's amazing to hear a brilliant scientist unpack the whole thing. Fifth, hi, Catherine. I never imagined I would ask about this, but I've noticed something extremely strange here in Lawrence as well as the upper Midwest, western Iowa, and western Minnesota. As most folks know, the central U.S. has had horrendous weather late spring to early summer, torrential rains and flooding. During a number of the bigger storms, the cyclone patterns and the way storms sometimes just acted like they were parked was just strange. Weather modification, question mark. It's certainly plausible. I think there is a concerted effort afoot to war game people's attitudes about POTUS Trump ahead of the 2020 election, and damaging his standing with farmers would be very helpful to efforts to make him a one-term president. So here's something I've found even weirder than the weird weather. This is part I'm surprised to bring up. For 2 weeks or maybe more, I've seen no chemtrail sorties at all yet. I hesitate to call them chemtrails, but they are distinct differences between contrails, which are water vapor trails that dissipate in the cold, dry air, and what we're referring to as chemtrails, which look like a trail that precipitates a growing larger cloud formation that frequently covers the entire sky. This area for years has had very heavy grid layering, and I've become accustomed to seeing fresh trails and then cloud buildup every day. Yes, some days are really intense, heavy traffic and horizon-to-horizon cloud forms growing out of extensive chemtrail-contrail traffic. For 2+ weeks now, I've seen absolutely no aerosol aerial dispersions. It's been so long since I've seen skies this clear, I cannot tell you the last time I've seen so much sky. It might have been after 9/11. I am smack dab in the middle of the heartland, about 30 miles west of Kansas City. wondering if other folks have noticed sudden cessation of chemtrails. I'm not complaining, mind you. It's been many years since I've seen clear sky day after day. I would love to hear if other Solaris subscribers have noticed the same thing. I hope you're enjoying your travels and feeling grateful and joyful. Okay, great reports. If you have reports like this, please post them to subscriber input. Yes, you can email them. If you email them, it's much better to send them to askcatherine@solaria.com than to my email address. The goal of all the events we do is to help you meet each other. There are lots of seriously intelligent people who seem completely immune to the controlled media and propaganda, and it's wonderful when you fill your life with them. I spend my life running around the planet just hanging out with people who are this intelligent and this clear about what's going on and exceptionally observant. So I love these pieces of intelligence from all over the world, so keep them coming. Money and markets. I'm working with a Wednesday close because I'm in Europe, but the markets fell out of bed today when the Trump administration announced a 10% tariff on a remaining $300 billion of Chinese goods. So just note that the market's down from where I'm reading. The dollar headed even more up with the tariff. So the dollar now up 2.64% and up even more today after the announcement of the tariffs. Fixed income headed up too. As of the Wednesday close, the long Treasury ETF TLT was up 10.77%, the intermediate up 6.69%. Boy, who would ever have thought? The bond aggregate up 6.04%, junk up 10.86%. Fixed income is headed up, but junk is headed down because it's a risk on, really, asset. Equities, again, this is the Wednesday close. They're down significantly. It's a down day today. S&P up 20% for the year. Home builders up 28.69%. VGK, the European ETF, up 12.6%. The Germany up 8.7%, developed markets minus North America up 12%, large cap China up 6.23%, small cap up 9.33%, and emerging markets up 7.75%. The commodity index as of the Wednesday close was up 5.14%, gold now up 9.86%, and it's headed up today. Big announcement from the Financial Times today, the central banks in the first half of 2019, according to the World Gold Council, bought $15.7 billion of gold. They're leading the way. Central banks buying about one-sixth of the global demand for the first half. Big buyers are Poland, China, and Russia. That's not a surprise. Silver up 4.75%, but it was headed down today, and that's probably some of the industrial use. And then oil had been up almost 35%, the big headline today in the Financial Times. Again, oil prices plunge on new trade war fears. Brent sees biggest drop since 2016 as investors predict hit to global growth. Okay, let's take a look at some of the top stories. The China trade negotiations lasted half a day. They announced they were going to have others, but then China announced that the U.S. was behind the Hong Kong protests, which are getting really serious. You have reports of the PRC army training as if they are prepared to deal with the protesters. If the PRC army moves into Hong Kong and moves on the protesters in a big way, it will send a chill throughout the world, which is very, very serious. I can't stress this enough. I just posted an article from Bloomberg where bank analysts are basically saying they think the chances are very small. But if it happens, it's a very serious step towards technocracy in a way, away from market economies. Hong Kong, as of 2 years ago, was considered on a list of innovative cities worldwide, was number one. And if you destroy freedom, you destroy innovation. And it's Even the possibility of such a thing is sending a real chill, I think, throughout the world. Very serious. I want you to take note of this. The U.S. Congress has canceled meat labeling. That means they don't have to, when you go to the grocery store, you don't have to know the point of origin. It's interesting. I had dinner tonight in the hotel restaurant here in Zurich, and in the menu, they had the country of origin of every different kind of meat in the menu. That's how important it is to see those things. And people who are serious about their health want to know. There's a big spread this week in Financial Times, investors' appetite for clean food. That's what they're calling synthetic lab-grown meat, clean food. It's all designed to make it fashionable. UBS just had a big study called The Future of Meat. I put a link up to one of the videos and the sort of section on their website. But it's everything from cellular meat to plant-based protein. And again, lab-grown meat. And of course, it's all being described. You know, the goal is to make it fashionable, and fashionable is clean food. UBS is saying all of these things are going to grow to an $85 billion market by 2030. So this is suddenly being promoted dramatically and quickly in the investor world. And you wonder how it dovetails with all the weird weather that's collapsing the planting of in the farmland. British leadership Boris Johnson is in place, and the conversation about Brexit is wild. It's a very messy process, and the question is, are we going to have a hard Brexit in October, or is it going to take several years and kind of mess on but turtle through the long, slow, hard way? It's very fluid, too early to tell. We see major changes in European leadership over the last month. We have Lagarde, we've talked about, has gone in as the new head of the ECB. We have a new IMF head to be decided shortly. There's controversy there. We have the German defense minister, Ursula von der Leyen, going in as European Union president. Big speech proposing a $1 trillion climate change investment program, clearly pitched to small business and the young. Take a look. I posted this the speech up in News Trends and Stories. In terms of change of style, Lagarde and von der Leyen are much more sort of calmer energy, adult supervision, much more inclusive. But clearly this is all part of the global double down on climate change. If you look at what Warren's been proposing in the Senate on climate change, it's truly terrifying. Anyway, but big changes in European leadership, and I'm going to be very interested to see how it changes the sort of the direction of the European Union and how that dovetails with what's happening in the Anglo-American alliance. There's obviously the Fed met, and the Fed lowered the Fed funds rate 25 basis points. If anything, they're following the market down again. And they're going to end the portfolio runoff, so they're going to stop retiring the bond portfolio and continue to maintain. So we really have an indication of sort of QE forever. Meantime, even though Lagarde's going on in the ECB, she faces the fact that the German courts are going to once again revisit the constitutionality of ECB bond buying. And if they say no, it's going to be very interesting. Meantime, we have going in as the German defense minister, the new CDU party leader. Her nickname is AKK. Her name is Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer. And she's going in as the German defense minister, picking up the position of the woman who just went over to be the EU president, Ursula von der Leyen. And it's probably going to be a woman running an IMF. So you basically have a all-female team, and they compare to the Boris Johnson Trump alpha male team. It's kind of funny to see the way it's lining up. The U.S. just approved a new budget deal. It's unbelievably ugly. It essentially gives the Democrats and Republicans 2 years of breathing room so they can have a big presidential election and not have to, I don't know if you heard that, that's a big firecracker that just went off. And that means they don't have to deal with worrying about the budget or the debt ceiling limit while they're politicking and getting elected. It increases the deficit by over $2 trillion, and that's on the overt side. That's before whatever shenanigans are going to go on behind FASB 56, which I think are enormous. You must prepare for big cuts after the U.S. presidential election. If you're dependent on any U.S. money, whether it's government contracts, government income, government pensions, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, just cuts are coming, and it looks like they're going to be big cuts too, especially if they combine it with privatization. So just whatever you can do to reduce your dependency on government money between now and then, please, please do so. We had a House resolution basically censuring it's called the BDS movement's boycotting of the Israel and Israeli businesses as a result of what's happening with Palestinians. There were 16 Democrats and one Republican who voted no. I was so impressed. I looked up the Republican, Thomas Massey from Kentucky. I was so impressed. I made a donation to him this week. He really has a very impressive record. Anyway, but if you look at the dangers at this point of trying to tell the Israelis no about anything, you know, very courageous. Check out Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky. The weaponization of anti-Semitism and hate speech is reaching unbelievable heights of ridiculousness. And from everything I can see, it's projected to get even worse. And I just think all the people using this stuff as weapons, they're painting themselves into a corner. But, you know, just beware. And it's one of those furballs you just don't want to get involved in. Midnight Watch, the Epstein story continues to get incredible attention. I just recorded an interview with Greg Hunter. I said to him, I watched one of the previous guests who said he thought there was going to be a lot of arrests. And I said, you know, I think they're worried that the Midianite thing, which is my nickname for the establishment, fights breaking out that really cause huge harm among the establishment. I thought the whole idea of putting Epstein in prison and getting everybody to come into the FBI with all the witnesses, etc., is really designed to stop the Midianite thing from happening. And if anything, this is going to put a lid on everything. There's a great video from Farrell about Epstein channeling money to the scientists. I would note Madoff was also doing the same thing. It's very important to understand how a lot of the funding of some of the more avant-garde or transhumanist science happens. There's one of the indications that the Minion, I think, is really bad is we're now up to 5 New York policemen who've been quote-unquote suicided. They say it's suicide. I don't believe it. We also had busts in the Marine Corps for drugs and human trafficking. Anyway, it looks to me like there's a big effort to get the Midianite thing under control as they consolidate the post-financial coup. But anyway, I talked about it in more detail with the Greg Hunter interview if you're interested. ESG investment is exploding. It's gone from 22 trillion assets under management to 30 trillion in just 2 years. I talked about it in the first quarter theme last week. It's really worth reading and listening to. You can wait until the full PDF is out. I just finished writing the introduction for that, and it'll go up on the web next week. But I hope to have the theme written by the end of August, and once it's done in a PDF and comes out in a hard copy for the print subscribers. I really think even though you think you're not interested in ESG investment, you want to understand what's happening because the danger is that ESG financing is going to be used in combination with climate change to do some really evil stuff. The other thing is if we turn it and use it well, it can do some great, great good. So this is a very powerful tool that can be used for good and evil. We all have a vested interest in seeing it used for good. And getting FASB 56 in front of the people who say they care about ESG would really, I think, can make a big difference. Weird weather. Reports from subscribers all around the world about real weather. And if you're in one of those areas, you know what's happening. But hailstones in Guatemala and the UK and in various places in Europe, we had heat at one point 2 weeks ago so bad in Europe that the train tracks were melting. And can you believe this? Tornadoes in Cape Cod. Anyway, weird weather. The Baltimore kerfuffle. This one is really funny. There are times when I totally love Donald Trump for pointing out the hypocrisy of things. He got in a Twitter war or a back and forth with Elijah Cummings, who's a congressman from Baltimore, and pointed out that you had a very prosperous black congressman while his constituents were in, you know, in a huge mess. Now, if you look at the extent to which Baltimore has been worked over by narcotics and mortgage fraud, I side with Trump on this one. You know, Cummings should be ashamed. And frankly, a lot of the black leadership should be ashamed. If you look at what has gone on over the last 20 years and the extent to which the black neighborhoods have been worked by enormous amounts of criminal fraud, the black leadership is up to their eyeballs in this one. And I posted a video of Tucker Carlson interviewing a guy named Woodson who'd been very involved in the civil rights movement. And he talks about how the black problem in America is not a problem with white people. It's a problem with the black leadership. And I couldn't agree more. Now, the problem you've got here is, even if you want to point out the failures on the Democrat side, if you look at the problems on the, you know, the Republican problems in Baltimore, they're just as bad. This was a bipartisan mess. And I'm surprised Trump stepped in it, because if you want to look on the Baltimore side, one place you can look is the role of the Kushner family and their HUD portfolios in Baltimore and Maryland. So the hypocrisy is bipartisan. I'm surprised Trump opened that door, but there's not, if you look at the extent of the mortgage fraud and the narcotics trafficking, most every congressman in the U.S. Congress has not got a strong story to tell. The U.S. has now added another sanction on Iran to the foreign minister. These personal sanctions can be very sort of dirty and vicious. This was the guy who led the negotiation of the Iran deal, so it's particularly vicious. I did a book review of a book on sort of American sanctions several years ago. The sanctions are a two-edged sword. We have enough of a powerful position in the clearing and payment systems of the world to get away with doing this. But if there's anything driving people out of the dollar system and looking for both payment and currency options around us, is they don't, you know, they look at us, do it to one, and realize it could be them. Okay, so when you scan all the news of what's going on, I just want to walk through again the risk issues, because if you look at what's happening, a lot of pressure is building up. Oh, I just wanted to mention one other thing. The JEDI contract is still being debated. I thought they were going to let it in August, but there's more dirty politics. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Israel cybersecurity push is part of those politics. They're trying to come in through either Oracle and Microsoft. They don't want to see Bezos get it and Amazon get it. Apparently, the Fed has taken a look at the Amazon cloud to see if banks are at risk. So the political pressure over the, you know, who controls what cloud is getting very serious. It's the data beast. Anyway, the JEDI contract and the data beast is still getting wrangled about. And now the Department of Defense has announced that the secretary will do a special review. Not going to entrust this to the career staff. Okay, so if you step back and look at all this news, we have real pressure building. It's being delayed until after the election, but it means after the election, the change is going to just, if it's not dazzling now, it's going to get really dazzling. And I don't mean just for people in the U.S., I mean globally. So here's what I want you to be thinking about. Inflation, you're going to see steady, if household inflation in the U.S. is 8 to 13% right now, for, you know, basic household goods, there's no doubt it's going to continue to outpace income rises. And a lot of the monetary, the printing and the incredible printing is going to go into asset inflation. And so you got to worry about inflation. The slow burn squeeze is just going to accelerate. So I want you to be thinking about that. Your actions, of course, is to, you know, keep your overhead low and do it yourself is a great investment. Cost of capital arbitrage. If J.P. Morgan Chase is borrowing at the Fed window at 2.25%, the average credit card in the country is 17%. That's usury. It used to be illegal. There's a lot of reasons to pay down your debt, especially because we're just in, if you look at the political risk, it's growing every day. Health. You have to do not avoid spending money on preventative health care so that you can keep a big fat brokerage account. Number one, you need food quality. And I'm really concerned about where the establishment is taking the food supply. So you need to know your farmer. You need to know your rancher. You need to find really reliable, trustworthy sources of fresh food. Pollution is a problem. Keep detoxing. ENF and entrainment with 5G. I just saw Jason Bowden-Smith and Sophia, and he's promised me he's writing another book, How to Stay Healthy in a Wireless World. If you can carry an EMF meter with you and do everything you can to create as safe a zone at home as possible, please do it. Technocracy. I'm worried about privatization, particularly after the election. Climate change and new green deals, to me, is just a way to move to greater central control of land and real estate, and it will dovetail with cost of capital because the people moving are going to make it prohibitively expensive for the outsiders, and the insiders are going to have very cheap cost of capital. Disaster capitalism, and that includes weird weather. Do I think there's weather warfare going on and they can do weather manipulation? You betcha I do. Surveillance capitalism is basically compromise of your privacy to harvest continuously your information to take away your market share or take away your money. So do everything you can to use open source software, and in fact we should do a Solari report on cybersecurity. There are a number of things you can do, and what email you use and what software you use to make sure that you are as protected as possible. There's a war on children. You're going to have to homeschool. Schools aren't safe. Now, I know different jurisdictions are different, but you've got to really be careful to protect kids from a variety of the different things that target them in school. Also, you've got to protect them against serial-induced addictions, a lot of them marketed through online systems. Whether it's gambling, whether it's pornography, whether it's just the entrainment that comes with communicating with their friends. Marketing. How do we market more central control? Divide and conquer. Those are fur balls. Don't fall for them. Don't get involved. Caring for the planet. Oh, we have to do climate change because the planet's dying. So caring for the planet is another fur ball. Make it fashionable. This whole thing about, you know, basically teaching kids to be sex slaves with the ads that you put up in San Francisco. It's all making it fashionable, or calling lab-grown meat clean food, or food full of nanoparticles and synthetics, calling it clean food. And of course, distraction. And at this point, a lot of the U.S. presidential campaign is a distraction. Now, if you can use it as a way to get FASB 56 in front of your neighbors, it could work. Anyway, so think about your risks. Again, inflation, cost of capital arbitrage, health, technocracy, surveillance capitalism, war on children, marketing. Our hero this week is seven of what are clearly the bravest human beings on the planet. I just have to tip my hat and tell you I have phenomenal respect for these people. What they have done is so brave and so courageous. They are the commissioners, the members of the board of fire commissioners of the Franklin Square and Munson Fire District in New York. They have put out a resolution, it's in the commentary for our Hero of the Week, where they have, let me just read you the pertinent prompt. Whereas the attacks of September 11, 2001 are inextricably and forever tied to the Franklin Square and Munson Fire Department, they described the fireman who was killed. Whereas members of the Franklin Square and Munson Fire Department were called upon to assist in the subsequent rescue and recovery operations and cleanup of the World Trade Center site, afflicting many of them with life-threatening illnesses as a result of breathing the deadly toxins present at that site. Whereas the Board of Fire Commissioners recognizes the significant and compelling nature of the petition before the U.S. State Attorney for the Southern District of New York reporting unprosecuted federal crimes at the World Trade Center on September 11th and calling upon the United States Attorney to present that petition to a special grand jury pursuant to the United States Constitution. Whereas the overwhelming evidence presented in said petition demonstrates beyond any doubt that pre-planned explosive and or incendiaries, not just airplanes in the ensuing fires, caused the destruction of the three World Trade Centers, killing the vast majority of the victims who perished that day, on and on and on. Okay, so you now have fire commissioners in New York putting down in a formal document a resolution of the board that it was internal demolition that brought down those three buildings. In my opinion, these seven people are risking their life to do this. It's an absolutely courageous thing they're doing, and it's a very important thing. It could make a huge difference. And I do hope you will check it out, and if you feel comfortable, circulate it. I would love to see this get the widest possible circulation, and while you're at it, say a prayer for their health and safety. This is the kind of courage we need. Great interview this week with the Saker. I asked the Saker to come back a little bit early. So much has been going on with Iran that I wanted to have an updated conversation with him. It's interesting. He and I continue to disagree. He's conventional. He doesn't see the role of the invisible technology that I do. And part of it is because I watch the financial patterns so much. But it's interesting, I didn't get into it with him this time, but one of the big questions is, just because we have the technology doesn't mean it's available to Trump and his allies to use. So it's interesting. So this is one you want to listen to if you're interested in the latest on Iran and the Ukraine and Venezuela and sort of other hotspots in the world. And let's go to the movies. I wanted to point you to the new Netflix series, Pine Gap. It's a fictional show about the Five Eyes Earth Station Pine Gap. It's called Pine Gap in the Australian outback, which is run jointly by the U.S. and Australia. The U.S. part is CIA, NSA, and NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance. It's a window. It's not great entertainment. I wouldn't recommend it for its entertainment value. But it is a window onto the world of satellite technology and intelligence, and tells more than I would have expected they would let Netflix tell. But it also shows you the balancing act that Australia has to deal with as part of the Anglo-American alliance, who's enjoying significant growth in their trade with China, and sort of the balancing act between the Anglo-American alliance and sort of the rise of the Asian consumer. Ask Catherine. I had a colleague pushing the Russian collusion with me again, and it got a little nasty, and I wrote them and said, "Dear X, I strongly recommend," and then I put a link to our Salier Report on Entrainment with Adam Trombley, because I get the feeling this person is digesting a huge amount of entrainment. So I wrote, "Want to take Trump down? Dive into his Russian mob ties, like Russ Baker, or out interference of the Israelis in the 2016 election, and the impact of dual citizenship on the Congress. That interference on current policy in 2020 is lining up to be significant, or the Israelis' compromise of our IT systems, or where the $21 trillion really went to, or the BS being thrown around about climate change that is jeopardizing us all, or how Kushner may have used his White House position to get the Qataris to refinance his Fifth Avenue building, or what is happening to remove health freedoms. There are numerous real issues worth fighting and illuminating. Stick with what is real, not unimportant or fake news being promoted by U.S. intelligence and or media with the support of entrainment on TV, smartphones, internet. Recommend you check out all the TrueStream media videos. You're too good a researcher to be waylaid by the trivial. If events make you mad, be mean to the CIA, not the people who love you." Then someone sent me an interview sorry, the one of the Dr. Greer, Steve Greer's movies related to UFOs and wanted to know what I thought of Dr. Greer. I've watched that movie. It's a mixed bag. I really appreciate all the work Greer has done on the black budget and disclosure. He had a great press conference in the summer of 2001, got a significant number of people from the military, ex-military, to talk about their UFO experiences. It was invaluable. But what I would say is the history of advanced civilizations encountering less advanced civilizations, to my knowledge, it never works out well for the less advanced civilization. Now, Dr. Greer will sometimes mention that we should invite the aliens in and they're our friends. And I'm just, that doesn't sit very well with me. But I've posted some of his videos. He's given some great lectures, including that included a lot of good material about the black budget. So it's a mixed bag. Hi, Catherine. I hope your next stop here in Albuquerque isn't so chaotic and affords you time for a subscriber meeting. A few things to ask. First, are you familiar with Susan Lindauer, a 9/11 whistleblower? I'm not. I think I've seen one of her presentations, but it's on my list to look into her. And then Dr., I think it's pronounced Laibow, Laibow. At one point, I did a due diligence on her, and several people that I most trust in the health freedom movement gave her very negative reviews, so I avoid her completely. Okay, I was curious about your opinions. Then you asked me about Dr. Jennifer Daniels, one of her therapies. I don't know, and I put the information in the notes. Then I mentioned biofeedback. What do I think? I think biofeedback testing is very useful. I don't think it can replace blood and urine testing and other chemical testing, but I do think it's very useful. I find it much more fluid. And you give your report of what happened to you when you tried it. It sounds good. You also try the iron foot bath. I should just say on the iron foot bath, my experience is one session doesn't do anything. You really need to do a series. It's one of those things you have to do a lot. So you either have to do a series or do regular use, and that means buying one. Then more information on what your experience was. And I agree with you. I think conventional blood work and a physical are very, very useful. Anyway, lots of good notes on therapies, and I really appreciate your post. Howdy, on July 22nd, 2019, President Trump signed Executive Order 13581 that extends a national emergency concerning transnational criminal organizations. Can you expand on what this means? That was an extension of one that was originally created in 2011. I put some notes about how it got created. So it was created in 2011 by the Obama administration, and it's been renewed pretty regularly, and Trump has renewed it several times since he's become president. What you will notice, I put some of the information in the notes, what you'll notice is the power is delegated to the Secretary of the Treasury. So this is under the rubric of what I call the control and concentration of cash flow. If you're going to be the United States and run the reserve currency, then you've got to maintain control of the money laundering, and that includes all the money laundering of organized crime. So I also suspect this dovetails with the sanctions as well. So this is about managing the cash flows and making sure the Secretary of the Treasury has the power he has internationally to control the money. Then someone sent in a interview of Heather McDonald at the Hoover Institute. It was about diversity. It had some interesting points, but if you look at the shenanigans going on at the Hoover Institute, I just can't post it. Sorry about that. Then somebody sent in a piece from a scientific journal that basically implies they need lots of fetal tissue to make nice vaccines. And I think that's absolutely true. I think the stem cell therapy and vaccines are exploding the push for a greater supply of human fetal tissue. And then you also sent in this wonderful link to a Welsh stone carver that was so appealing that he became our hero last week. We didn't have a money in market, so I didn't talk about it, but it's up in our hero commentary for last week. It was really wonderful. I very much appreciate your sending that. Okay, dear Catherine, I thought I would send you a couple of links from the BBC in the last week. Okay, here's where you described the Welsh guy. And, oh, you also sent a link about Pearson, the textbook company, going to digital textbooks. That is totally frightening. Joseph is absolutely right. If you want it and you want to preserve it for posterity, get a hardback. So I really appreciate your sending that. Then you talk about how you found Dark Journalists in the X series, and then you found me. Oh, this is interesting. I'm very interested in your and Joseph's takes on Brexit. I'm a Brexit voter myself and agree with a lot of your analysis, especially as to anti-technocracy. I used to be an in-house lawyer, and by the time I left 6 years ago, about 75% of my workload originated from Brussels and was essentially busy work. I also had to lobby in Brussels from time to time, and the place drove me crazy. Boy, I know how you feel. The EU is deeply anti-democratic. People in Europe will never give up their individual cultures. One of the truly disturbing outcomes of the referendum here is the readiness of a large number of people to dump a democratic decision because they voted the other way. Very similar to the way in which the Trump presidency is met with sabotage. Personally, I would be very happy to be in a free trade area with the rest of Europe, actually what we were promised at the outset of the whole fiasco. And I do think the pressures within the EU are unsustainable and will lead to a fracture, starting with the ill-conceived euro, which has inflicted huge pain on Southern Europe. It will be a big mess. I'm going to be very interested to see how the new leadership responds to reducing the pain of the technocracy push from Brussels. It's going to be interesting. The Trump queen thing is amazing. We don't understand Trump at all here because we are turned off by the bombast and the hair. He seems a more complex figure than we were encouraged to believe. The queen has always disliked the EU and her preference has always been towards the Commonwealth, but most people here don't pay much attention to the Commonwealth. Maybe that will change once we do leave the EU. I'm not sure the Commonwealth countries are really that keen on Britain. I don't think Prince Charles has any particular interest in the Commonwealth, but I could be wrong as I don't follow the royals much. Charles is nowhere near as smart as the Queen, so it will be interesting to see what happens whenever he finally succeeds. I don't think it's going to be him. William is being groomed to succeed, so I think they're going to skip a generation. A lot of the royals' respect here is bound up with the Queen personally. Kate and Harry are popular, but none of the younger royals are at all in the same league as the Queen. However, I guess they have advisors. The Queen wasn't always this savvy. Remember, she started off young too. You need to look at the trade statistics, the Five Eyes system, and the financial flows in the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is much more intertwined, powerful, and important than you think. So don't look at the sort of the popular opinions or what people say. Look at watch the flows of money within the Commonwealth. And then you talk about how you went from Dark Journalist to Solari, and now you're going to sign up for Giza Death Star. I have a TV now so that I can watch Wimbledon. Here's what's interesting. I call this the sports conundrum. I can't tell you how many people can't get rid of their TV because one of the spouses is hooked on sports and needs the TV for sports, and then, of course, is digesting huge amounts of entrainment. So we need an invention that will allow us to just watch the sports without entrainment. If you can figure out how to do that, you could become a billionaire. Enjoy your current European trip. I am in the far west of Cornwall nowadays, where we have lots of fresh fish, farmers markets, and unsprayed vegetables. Sounds fabulous. And that's it for Ask Catherine. Coming up next week, the wellness series with Bridget Mouchet is back, Keeping Your Thyroid Healthy with Iodine with Dr. Kay Thompson. I love iodine. I don't leave home without it. So I'm glad that Bridget has decided to do an interview on iodine. So useful. The following week, Deep State Tactics 101 Part 4, the fourth part of what looks to be about a 7 to 9 part series. We'll see how it breaks out. Then August 22nd, Precious Metals Market Report. I'm going to try and get Franklin Sanders back. And we're collecting together some of the great material in the archive from Franklin, but we need him. We need him live to address our current questions. So great lineup, Wellness Series, Deep State Tactics, Precious Metals Market Report. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this evening. Until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.